the camera. Where is it?
Have you seen my booth?
Welcome to Fear Me.
Hi, I'm Kim.
Stuart.
Welcome to the Fear Me podcast. This is episode 148. Scott's not here tonight because he is with our other brother-in-law.
Up in Maine.
Vacationing for the 4th of July.
Trying as many beers as he possibly can.
Yeah. And having the time of his life. So it's just us. You get us tonight.
How lucky you are.
And I will preface this and say, I've already been out with friends tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So coming into this feeling very happy.
And I have not. And I've had a really rough day. So
lucky y'all listeners. All right. What are you drinking? Oh, I guess we're drinking the same thing, aren't we?
We're drinking a Sweetwater Costa sunglasses, teamed up with Sweetwater. Out of Atlanta to create this Kick Plastic Pilsner. So it's one of their environmentally themed beers.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag Kick Plastic.
It's good, but honestly, it doesn't taste like a true Pilsner to me because it still has the hoppiness of
an IPA.
An IPA in it, don't you think?
Yeah, but it's still got that little bite to it, like a Pilsner. I've been drinking IPAs all night, and this one definitely has that bite.
It's... All night. When did you start? No, it's good. It's just
several hours ago.
I think these guys' taste buds can't get away. The brewmeister's taste buds cannot get away from hops.
Yeah.
When they're making their beers now.
But it's good. I like it. I could drink a lot of it. And it's got a good, what's the word I'm looking for?
Cause?
Cause. Thank you.
Yeah, the cause. The proceeds are along with matching proceeds from... Costa are going to Costa. Costa are actually going towards some programs, I guess, that are helping to get plastics out of the ocean. That's the whole idea.
Yeah. What did Scott say when you told him we were drinking this beer?
Kick plastic, what does that mean? I think is what he said.
Oh, Scott.
And I said, Scott, what rock are you hiding under?
Seriously. As a sea turtle person, this is a big deal for me. In fact, the person, the biologist whose video went viral of them taking the straw out of the sea turtle's nose, she's going to be the keynote speaker at our conference in February. So I'm super excited about that. So reduce, reuse, recycle. There you go. All right, so we're going to cover Fear the Walking Dead, Season 5, Episode 5, The End of Everything.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just say, can I start?
Of course.
Okay. Better than the week previous, but still not that great.
Was that just because of the contrast of how bad last week's was? We really tore up last week's episode.
Because it really sucked ass.
I don't think it was that bad. I don't think it was...
It was so inconsistent. It was ridiculous. This one was a little bit better.
Why?
Well, that's a good question. Why was it better? I don't know. There weren't so many inconsistencies, like I was just getting ready to say. But the only thing is, like, the whole relationship between the two of them was written on the wall from the very beginning.
You just like that there was a lesbian relationship?
No, I'm just saying that it was just so predictable. But the writing was better. I think.
Okay.
Like, there were parts where I was like, oh, so stupid again. But the storyline of them, like Al, finally knowing what Al went through after that one night of her going back to investigate what happened with the one walker who had the gear on. And to find out that it was a woman who knocked her out and drug her, you know, away. And then the whole mission to get fuel, like, That was what I didn't really understand, was the mission to get fuel, why you had to climb a freaking mountain to go get that fuel, and then how did they get down from that mountain with the two cans of fuel? Because I don't think they climbed down, they actually walked down.
So you had issues with the feasibility of it all.
Yeah, I did.
I thought the episode was good, and I think leading into pretty much what you're saying, the chemistry between the two of them... probably worked a lot better than what we've seen in anything that they've done with the Fear of the Walking Dead. And
All over?
Well, I mean, you kind of saw it from the very moment she knocks the helmet off that woman.
Yeah, that's true.
Off Isabel.
Yeah.
That there was like, oh!
Instant.
Yeah, there was like an instant, whoa!
Yeah, that's true.
And it carried through. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it wasn't, I don't think it was a real big question mark. And in fact, the fact that she didn't kill her at the very end, because of her own emotional state, just kind of was like, oh, kind of answered it to what you thought was happening the entire episode anyways.
That they were becoming attracted to each other?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, there was like some sort of relationship that was building between those. I guess the big question mark at the end of the episode is, does that mean that Al's not going to share anything that she's learned from Isabel through this? And what did we actually even learn during the episode about this mysterious group? We knew about the helicopters. We know now that they have drop sites for fuel drops.
Mm-hmm.
That means that they're probably... pretty organized and pretty large,
right?
I would think. And this is not the only helicopter that they have,
obviously.
And there is a reclamation team that is a very bad idea to cross paths with. Well, you know, lots of little tidbits that were coming out. The big thing I thought that probably was more overshadowed in the storyline was that one tape that Al has, the bog, is the end of everything. Because that was her tape that it was extremely important to her, because she even gives it to Isabel at the very end and says, make sure that this does not, you know, that my brother's death doesn't go away in vain, that he's remembered, whatever. And it was her filming... I think it was the military fighting the reserves.
The National Guard.
Or National Guard at the end.
Yeah.
And they're fighting each other. And that was like the end of everything. That was...
the end of the world as we know it.
Yeah.
Like an R.E.M. song.
Yes.
Was it the boy or the boy?
Except without like the annoying repeating of the chorus
it's
line.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Without that. Without that.
Was it the boy or the bog though? I thought it was the boy number 7.
Oh, maybe it was the boy number 7. Did I misread it? Maybe I misread
maybe.
It. Oh, the boy. Oh, that makes more sense. It was her brother.
Because
right?
her brother.
Yeah. Okay, that makes more sense. Sorry, I misread it, I guess.
I mean, it's fine. Yeah, so it was interesting to see how Al got, like, you know, inducted into the apocalypse. Like, you know, like how world fell apart.
Okay. One of the big things that we keep questioning through The Walking Dead and Fear of the Walking Dead is, how did it all fall apart?
Right.
Right? I mean, there's those missing moments when everything fell apart. Here is a moment when it's all falling apart. The military's fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're killing each other. And that's something she finds that's one of her snippets of history that she's saying, don't let this get lost. When she's like, if you're going to kill me, don't let this get lost.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important. And I think that's where the show title comes from, is that that was like, boom, that's like Into the New World. But also... yeah, I think in the same concept is what Isabel is talking about, that what they're building is the future, and everything that these people have right now is the past.
Right.
So they're holding on to the past.
Yeah.
We don't know what that future is. Does that mean that everybody else has to die off? I mean, does that mean, are they, I don't know, are they experimenting with people? Like, what was the ranch where they were, like, capturing the dead and, like, experimenting on them to try and see what's turning them or what they can do with them or whatever. Are they doing that sort of thing? And that's what they're creating the future out of? I don't know.
Right. So the question I had was, I mean, they're obviously, like, a military or paramilitary type of group.
Oh, I thought they were pretty peaceful.
No, you didn't. So they're not associated with the nuclear power plant, right? Like, no, that's what we're to assume. They're different. They're a totally different group.
But something's important to them about that spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Isabel actually said something about water filtration, right? Isn't that what she said?
Yeah,
that
they were out looking for water purification.
Is that why they were at that spot? Like her and her partner that she killed? That's why they were there at that point?
They were getting supplies for that.
But they had a fuel drop nearby.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like they probably have been there. She's obviously stuck ever since that one guy got stuck on the rod, mm-hmm. was killed and stuck on the rod.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, initially I thought the reason that they had the suits with the tubes all over them was like some way of cooling themselves. You know, like how NASCAR drivers always have like...
Yeah, or NASA astronauts.
Yeah. Have the circulating water within their suits and stuff like that to keep them cool and while they're wearing the black suits. I thought that was protective and doing something with that, but I guess it seems like it was just to protect them from biting them. So that walkers couldn't bite them, that was it.
Well, they were pretty amazing suits.
I guess. I still don't understand how it kept that one from biting Al, but...
Well, I mean, you saw all the ridges that were in it, right? So it's basically like having... Like with any other animal, if you...
So it's like Ruffles?
Ruffles chips?
Have ridges.
Yes, exactly.
You can get more dip on your suit.
No, but I mean, if you have ridges going a certain direction, it's harder for an animal to close their mouth on.
Okay.
And so I think it's the same concept because there were lots of ridges on that outfit.
Yeah, I mean, it was all over. In fact, they even had like dimensional ridges logo. For their logo. Yeah, their triple circle logo.
Uh-huh. The fact that Owl went with her instincts... And left the vehicle, and she saved herself, before the car got destroyed with the rock slide, but then she put the outfit on even though she didn't want to. But then that in the end saved her life because mm-hmm. that one walker came up out of the dirt and could have bitten her. I think that was really cool to see because of her journalistic instincts. You know, like as a journalist who's in the trenches. And you have to get the story, and coincidentally, in the end, that's what took her brother, because she didn't get to see her brother, go through the changes, and I'm assuming he was bit, is from what I'm getting, because she said she wasn't there for the beginning or the end, so I'm assuming he was bit, but who knows, but she didn't get to spend time with her brother and save him, and then, but anyway, so her journalistic instincts to save herself and get the story and go after it at all costs. I think that was really cool to see how that kind of came to fruition with this whole story for this episode, because we've seen...
I understand what you're saying as far as her instincts are what led her out that one rainy night to find the guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And her instincts were got her out of the car, mm-hmm. although at that moment when she said, "See, that's why I don't stay in the car," I was like, okay, well, that was coincidental. Like, yes. that would happen. But she said, my rule is I don't stay in the car. Right. People tell me to stay in the car.
I mean, the rock slide could have happened at any point, to any section.
Well, I think it was funny how they kind of kept, it was like this repeating pattern at the start of the episode until they tried trusted each other. Because it was, she's captured, finding the guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what starts our episode.
Mm-hmm.
And she's tasered. And then she's brought back to some place where she wakes up, and then there's dead all around her. So she escapes, and then she's being chased again by Isabel.
Mm-hmm.
And then Isabel kills the other dead, and then she's knocked out or something, right?
Yeah.
When she asked for the tape, and then that was when Al's like, do you have my boot?
Yeah, and she knocked her out.
And she did knock her out. Okay, so she knocks her out. So it's like, and then she wakes up and she's in the car, and then she escapes from that, and then she's in the helicopter, and she gets captured again. So it was just like...
Yeah, back and forth.
Yeah, it was a lot of back and forth that was going on. Although the scene when she's in the car and she's talking to Baldy...
That was confusing.
Why was that confusing?
Well, okay, so she's in the car, but then the car is surrounded by barbed wire, but it's a really big circle of barbed wire.
Yeah, it was just like a protective area. Probably.
But did Isabel mean for her to stay there the entire time? That was like her little...
She was tied up with a climbing rope. I'm still trying to figure out how she's able to cut the rope with barbed wire.
That was bullshit.
Because barbed wire is, it's cut on a little end of it. It would take a lot, and she was able to cut the rope.
That was fabric.
Yeah, it was.
It was not duct tape.
Yeah, it would be a lot easier just to, like, break a piece of metal off in the car.
Yeah.
And cut that rope than it would be to get that guy to come over. And I'm sure it was just weird because she's like, come here. And then she's kicking him.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he's like at a perfect spot, I guess, that she's able to grab it with her bare foot.
It was very risky.
But honestly, I think it was kind of like a setup to, wouldn't it be painful to try and have you use your own bare foot to grab barbed wire? Because that's all I was thinking about. I was like, ow, my foot.
I was thinking, damn, she's a badass.
Oh, really?
She just grabbed that with her foot, her toes.
Exactly. That's the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But I wouldn't have ever thought to do that, because that was pretty risky.
Right. I would have thought to try and get a piece of metal from inside that old car.
Yeah. That seems like much easier.
First thing I would have thought is do they have ashtrays? Because that car, it was like an old Jeep Wagoneer or something like that. I would have thought, okay, they got to have ashtrays in there. It's got an ashtray, it's got a lid, rip the lid off.
Or an old lighter. Remember when they have lighters in them?
That's true. Lighters. It has to have a battery to do that, but yes.
Does it?
Yes.
Okay. It's been a very long time since I've seen those things.
I had one in my Chevette, and you'd push it in and it would shoot in like the back seat.
Threaten to burn your old car up while you're sitting in the front, buckled in.
Not the most handy thing when lighting a cigarette to be like reaching in the back seat while on the highway.
I never smoked, so I don't know.
My clown car of destruction.
Well, I guess...
Yeah, where do you go from there?
truly. I'm still just... Like, the maps that the original guy had on him, right? Like, what does that all mean?
She was picking maps out of other cars, too.
Yeah, she was. And she was like, if this tape gets loose and people see these maps and decipher what these maps are for, then it's at the detriment.
Because she actually videotaped the maps that guy had on. Did they even say what his name was? I don't think they did.
They did, but okay. I can't remember what his name was.
So there were maps, and there were even, like, they had the...
Overlays.
Like, yes, but the overlays had the logo on them. So, mm-hmm. I mean, like, what is that? Does a logo have something to do with how they're even deciphering the map? Possibly.
I mean, I'm just, like, I don't think it has anything to do with the nuclear power plant. I just think it's, like, a paramilitary type of group. But from what I understood, she was saying that they had been there from the very beginning. Like, I almost believe that maybe they either had something to do with the entire breakout, or they had something to do with, like, a solution to the breakout.
Okay, what was the very first clue that Isabel gave Al? It was, like, the first thing she actually told her. She said, okay, I'm going to share this with you.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't very much that she shared.
It was, like, everything I do is to better our situation. Wasn't mm-hmm. it something like that?
Yeah.
It's, like, everything we do is to try and help everyone.
Mm-hmm. But what is that everything?
I don't know. It's as mysterious as what we're doing is the future and what you are is the past.
So,
I mean, to go along with what you're hypothesizing, that these people, if they had it in their mind to make a future, they could have done something that upset the present. You know, by releasing something.
It.
Yeah, releasing something that created all the walkers.
Right.
So, if you're thinking that maybe it's a large organization that possibly created this whole crisis, yeah, it could be.
Well, that's what I think. That's what I was getting ready to say, is that, you know, we know Jadis had to differentiate between whether she had an A or a B. And the A's were the ones who had been bitten. Mm. The B's were not.
But I would consider the A's not bitten.
No, but the group holds more stake in the A group because they had been bitten. They're more important to whoever is in charge.
Oh, because then they can test them?
That's what I'm thinking. They're testing them for something. So she said that Rick was an A, so that they would be sure to come and pick him up in the helicopter and take him off.
Okay, and if you go back to the past, I mean, again, we're going back into The Walking Dead. Because now it's like, it's almost completely overlapped because The Walking Dead's almost completely gone.
Yeah.
But when they went to the CDC, they found out that everybody is infected.
Right.
So everybody's infected with something, or it's just a natural gene that everybody has. And everybody dies. They either turn into a walker, but we haven't seen anybody not turn into a walker.
Mm-hmm.
So are they looking for people that aren't necessarily infected when they die, which means they can't be infected and
like
they don't
immune to it?
Yeah, they don't turn into walkers.
Yeah, but that whole thing was a new thing. That whole the gene that says when you die, you become a walker. That's a new
that
thing.
That was something that was introduced to the population.
It had to have been introduced. It was not like a mutation of the cells.
Okay. But we've seen in like movies like 28 Days Later or others, mm-hmm. that there's certain people that are immune
mm-hmm.
to certain things, which makes sense. I mean, you're not every illness is going to kill everybody.
So you think they're trying to find the one person that's immune to it?
Who knows? I don't know. But I mean, if there's an importance placed on people that are bitten, then why would they be important? If they're bitten in our world, they're dead. There's no use for them. If it's important to have someone that's bitten, then why? What's the importance? Maybe to test vaccines on. I don't know. Maybe because you're trying to find that diamond.
Yeah.
That is not going to turn. I don't know.
But if that's the case, then every person is important because they can take blood from every person and look for that gene mutation.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And if that person's already been bitten, you just have a greater possibility of looking for the differences.
Yeah, I mean, you could always make people... Well, then again, then you're saying that A's are important. It really doesn't make any sense to me. You just proved yourself wrong. I appreciate that.
No. That's not at all what I just did.
If you're not bitten, everybody could possibly be bitten, right? So you just, like, you could take just everybody... And just, like, have them be bitten, and then they are A's.
No, but it doesn't matter if you're bitten or not. The fact that you're bitten means if you've...
Kim's hackles are getting up right now.
I am.
Can see it.
No, if you've been bitten, you're just going to turn faster.
Okay.
Because you're infected now and with a virus, and you get the fever, and then you die.
So you get in front of the line.
You do. But if...
That's like speed pass.
Fast pass. Fast pass at Six Flags.
Okay.
You're in the front.
Okay.
Yeah. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. However, no matter what, you've got that gene or you've got that virus inside of you. And they can take blood and figure out, you know, if you have that mutation.
Mm.
That's all I'm saying. What is the point of this?
No. The whole point of the conversation was, what's the importance of A's and B's?
Right.
Which was pretty much stemming from, what the fuck is going on with these people? And what are they doing? Are they experimenting on people? Why are they the future and everybody else is the past? That is the point.
Okay, so we're going into... Next week is episode 6.
And do we have anything to do with these people at this episode? We'd probably not.
Probably not. And so that's my question is, are we going to see these people again in Fear? Or do we have to wait until the movies come out about Rick before we find out any definitive answers?
Do you think they're actually going to just completely ignore this because Al's saying, I'm going to not say anything about this?
Well, see, that's the stupid part. That's the part where I'm like, really, guys? Because
I have a girlfriend who's part of them. I'm not going to say anything to anybody about it.
She's not even a girlfriend. She's like a mutual acquaintance. Well,
she did say that when all gloves are off, when
She's gonna fight for her job.
The sun comes up tomorrow.
Yeah, we're back to business.
Yeah.
So she's got this love interest, but at this point, we're to believe that she's never gonna see her again.
Yeah.
And she's not gonna talk about her. Not gonna talk about the mission or the organization that she's with. And we're to believe that that's never going to come up again.
She's not to follow this story.
Right. Do you believe that's going to happen?
With everything that's been built up about who Al is, no, it should not happen. It should not happen. It probably will.
Well, she's got all these other people now to distract her, all these kids that have joined the group. And their mission right now is to get out of this nuclear zone.
I know, but that's a pretty fucking big thing to not share with the people that are supposed to be trusting you.
I agree.
I mean, it's not like... I mean, she has secrets. That's what's all on her tapes. She has all these stories of other people that she's hiding. This one, I don't think, fits in the same category.
Yeah.
This is a huge organization that could possibly endanger them.
Or save them.
I mean, because Isabel could go back and turn on them. And all of a sudden bunch of helicopters could show up.
That's true.
And kill them off. So I don't think it's something that would be safely hidden at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my I mean, the woman almost killed her. And she said, don't follow this. I would think that if she goes back to her people, they would seriously question her because she lost somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
During that questioning, something could come up about Al and her people, and they could come search, whatever. Mm-hmm. They could not believe her a little bit and then come search and see what the hell is going on and find them and kill them.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's something that you could possibly hide.
I think by the end of the season, we're going to see them again.
If we don't, it would be a bad move. And if we don't, I would not be that surprised because they've made a lot of bad moves in this season. So there you go. I thought the episode was good. I did. I enjoyed it. Especially it was one of those episodes where it was like we're isolated from the rest of the group. And it's just Al kind of fighting through stuff. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was kind of weird when she, you know, Morgan and them showed up. And they're like, oh, Al, how's it going? But I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Especially compared to... I enjoyed last week's, too. Even though there was a lot of cheesy stuff that was going on.
Mm. I think the big cheesiest part of this week's was the whole rock climbing segment.
Yeah, that bothered me. That actually did bother me.
That was ridiculous.
Well, primarily because you don't climb like that. You don't rock climb like that. I mean, someone has to be on belay. You don't just have like two separate moving points
mm-hmm.
on a wall. And no one is actually protecting the rope
mm-hmm.
or the other person that's climbing. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, if there aren't like perfectly spaced anchors everywhere, then at some point someone's going to have like a 10 to 15 foot like lead on a rope that would make that much more leverage to rip an anchor out of the wall. I mean, it would be ridiculous.
No one's what happened.
Yes, nobody climbs like that. And for Al and this other woman to actually act like they knew what they were doing,
mm-hmm.
and Al even like says, "Oh, you have ascenders," and blah blah blah. You know, like, yeah, they didn't know what the hell they were talking about, and so it was portrayed ridiculous, and it seemed like the writers didn't even know what the hell, like how people even climbed a wall.
Yeah.
So,
and when they were trying to get that, when Al was trying to get that tool from the guy who had died on the wall, and just ended up stabbing him in the throat. That was even ridiculous to me because it was so unbelievable that she would be doing that. And then she had to hook onto his own line. Like, why not unhook him?
Yeah.
Could she not unhook him?
And to trust that his anchor was better than what they had that entire time.
Right, because they don't know how long he's been there either.
No, who knows? I mean, it could have been falling. I mean, and they're drilling. I mean, she's drilling holes in the wall, which is That's fine, but I mean, they had plenty of like little cracks and crags to actually use anchors that. Actually using like one of those hand hammers to drill a hole, like a hand drill like that, that takes a ton of energy out of somebody as they're climbing up a wall. I mean, that's, and she's like, oh yeah, just like pulled it out and like nailing another one in the wall. It's like, I mean, that's solid rock.
You know what it reminded me of?
What?
The Princess Bride. When
oh, when he's just like climbing up and he's got three people attached to him?
Yeah, when Andre the Giant yeah. is climbing and he's doing it effortlessly, and then Carrie Elway's character comes right behind him. He's not even moving his legs. He's just pulling on the rope with his arms and he's like ascending super fast. That was awesome. And then, but
they're really not going through that much effort, and then they show him at the top of the wall and they're laying there.
Yeah. And then the whole tent scene was stupid.
Why?
Okay, so first of all, she finds the tent in the car. She automatically knows what it is, which I would have been like, what the fuck is this shit?
I didn't find that to be that hard to believe.
Okay, well, anyways, and then she gets in the tent. She pulls herself into the tent and Al's already in it. And then when they pan away from the tent, there's nothing there, not even a tree. Yep. Or anything that would have allowed her to have a foothold to even get into the tent.
That was a little silly, yeah.
It's just literally suspended in midair.
Well, okay, part of it was that they were hinting that, I mean, she had hinted that, oh, these people were ready to climb the wall. And I think Al said, well, I think they were just trying to get the hell out of here. But they had a lot of climbing gear in the car.
Right.
So when she saw the tent, I guess she, again, it's wrapped up. It's all rolled up. I don't know how you would know it would be a tent for climbing, like a tent for suspension.
Suspended, yeah.
Because you would need, those tents have like framing at the base so you can actually sit in it. So it doesn't collapse on you.
Right.
So how she got, when she got up in the tree and then got into it, I don't know how the fuck she climbed into it. Because she was like, ugh, like climbing into it. Like a tent, the base of a tent is not going to be that sturdy.
Right. Made no sense to me.
But there's nothing leading to it is the more perplexing thing.
Exactly. Exactly. So what do you think about the relationship between the two of them? I mean, do you think...
I think it was more than they were allowing it to be. Because they were like, okay, we got to go off and do our own things now.
So it's like a one night fleeting moment. Well, not even one night. It was just like a one moment kiss.
Yeah, but it was
fleeting moment type thing.
Yeah, but I think it was deeper than that. But they were like, yeah, I can't, you know, this got to move back to our own groups now.
Yeah.
So who knows if it like turns into something else in the future? I would think it probably does.
Well, the one thing that stood out to me was when Al was like, Isabel said, you know, I saw the most beautiful thing out here, and that was you. And then she gave her the kiss, and I don't know if it was before or after, but Al was, like, saying something about how, like, don't, I feel like she said, don't make me regret this, or something like that, where it made her feel like, you know, she finally had something to live for. It wasn't just about the story this time. I can't remember exactly what she said, but it was...
No, she did say something about that. She said, yeah, she did very much what you're saying. She said that you made it something more than about the story.
Okay, yeah. So I think that even though we're under the assumption right now that she's not going to see her again, this is going to help Al see people for who they are instead of just what they could offer to her. Whether it's a person individually or a situation that's happening in front of her, unfolding in front of her. Mm. And I think it's going to make her a more dynamic character. And that is why I also think we're going to definitely see Isabel again, because I don't think she's going to be able to let that relationship go.
Well, she said that she shared something she had never shared with anybody before.
About was her that brother. About her
brother?
Mm-hmm. Okay. The videotape.
So, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, she's opened up more than she's actually opened up to anybody. And it's to a person that she can't even trust.
That's true.
So, So, yeah, maybe it'll make her appreciate the relationships that she already has established with these the other people in her group.
She seemed really happy to see Morgan and Alicia, and that's why she told her her last name, which I would not even begin to be able to pronounce.
Polish names?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Alicia's like, is something wrong with you? And she's like, no, I'm good. I just feel like I need to tell you what my last name is. But I think that that's our indication that she is, she's like back. She's back into the world of the living and not of the past. She's like in the present. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, like, I'm picking up what you're putting down, Kim.
Okay, great. Because she keeps taping all these people telling their stories of how they got to where they are.
Yeah, but she's always behind the lens.
Right. And now she's a part of that story.
Yep.
Yes. Right on. We got this.
Okay. We do got this, Kim. And on that note, I think it might be time to take a break.
For sure.
All right, we are back. And Kim, I think it's time for our hit and miss. What is your miss?
Miss first? Okay.
Scott's not here, so I'm just trying to mix it up. Why not?
Okay. There was a scene that really bothered me. It was, I don't know if it was bad editing or just the way it was written, but it irritated me.
Okay.
And that is when Al and Isabel kill the walker on the helipad. So this is after they've climbed the wall.
Yeah, right. I think I know where you're going with this.
And they're on the helicopter pad. And there's another climber.
Mm-hmm.
They kill him. And Al defeats Isabel somehow, grabs the gun, says she's keeping it. And then all of a sudden it switches to where this it's a scene of them packing their bags and talking. Like, there's no animosity between them at all anymore.
Yeah, now Al is just in control.
Yeah, there's no mention of the fact that Al has taken the gun. There's, like, no problems.
Could I say the part that bothered me on that scene was the fact that the walker was tied up with a rope attached to something back there. Yet he was the one that continued the climb. Somehow he died by himself up there.
Mm-hmm. And he's attached to something.
And yet his rope is tied to something, but then when he moves towards them, it frees him.
Yes.
And it's like, well, okay, how did he get stuck in the first place? And now he's already all of a sudden free.
Right.
Like, what the fuck was he doing up there the entire time?
Right. So inconsistencies abound.
Yeah, that was a little ridiculous.
So that carries over from last week, which really irritates me.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, I started out with a miss because my miss is boring. It was what we had just talked about right before we went to the break, which was the fact that the climbing thing just really bothered the shit out of me because people don't climb like that. You have someone that stays stationary and watches the other climber as they climb.
Uh-huh.
And then as the other person ascends after them, they're pulling the rope for them. They're belaying the rope for them. That's not how you climb. And for people that are supposedly knowing what the hell they're doing, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you had two climbers, the other guy that died on the wall. If you're going by yourself, fine. It doesn't matter. But if you have someone that's there climbing with you, they are going to protect you with the rope and belay it.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to keep tension on the rope the entire time. At least some tension on the rope.
I think the writers were depending on the fact that...
I think the writers didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. And I don't think the people that were shooting it knew what the hell they were talking about.
And they were depending on the idea that people who also don't know what they're talking about
I guess
are watching.
I guess. I don't... It just...
You climber guys.
No, it just seemed like what the fuck was that one movie with Sylvester Stallone in? Oh. And he had like the gun that would shoot like a piton into the wall.
Yes.
It's like you don't. I mean, you can't shoot something into solid rock like that when you're hanging on a wall. It would blow you off the fucking wall. What the hell was that movie?
It's on the tip of my tongue. I can see it.
Jesus Christ.
It's like it was dark like, something.
No, it was like overhang or the like high climb or
overhang,
something.
Overhang, that sounds right.
It
something
was,
like
no,
that.
No, it was something stupid like that. Anyways.
Anyways, yeah.
Everybody, all the listeners will come back and be like, God damn it, Stuart. Why didn't you know that?
Okay, so can I do my hit?
Yes,
then?
Hit.
All right, so I had a couple of Walker hits. I liked when Al crushed the Walker's head in the car door.
Of course you did. Yeah. There were some good Walkers in this one.
That was a good one. And then the other one was the Walker who was under the dirt, who came up and got Al and bit her. I liked that one a lot just because it took Al, like it caught her off guard.
Well, I think it took the audience off guard. You didn't think that was going to happen at that point.
Yeah. And that was like an exact opposite of her trusting her instincts, where she didn't really want that jacket. But Isabel insisted that she put it on, and thank God she did. Otherwise, she wouldn't be here right now.
Well, it was one of the few times you saw Al screw up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? She's always kind of in control of everything. And that's what she said. Well, I don't stay in the car. And she was very cocky about everything that she does. Because she's, I shouldn't say cocky, confident about what she does. Because she doesn't get caught. And then she got caught off guard. And because of Isabel making sure that she took that jacket, insisting on it, it saved her life.
Yeah.
Because she would have been dead.
All right.
So my hit was when Al could not get a word out of Isabel, and she had that angry profile the entire time, and they were driving through right before the landslide stuff happened, and Al decided to call her Happy. That was her nickname for her, because she would not tell her what her name was.
That was a nice little moment.
Yes, it was.
I'm going to call you Happy. I like that.
Yeah. That was my hit.
That was cute. Okay, good hit. Okay, so we have lots of listener comments. We'll start off with Joe Johnson. He said, I never really feel the bottle episodes, and this one I figured out as soon as the CRM soldier's helmet got ripped off. I'm kind of cool on the romance side of FTWD, John Dorian Dwight. It seems like there really isn't going to be a big bad this season. The climax will be Morgan's Avengers teaming up with the Lord of the Flies kids to take the denim warehouse away from Max Headroom. Yeah, I mean, Max Headroom's kind of like dropped off the face of the earth right now.
Yeah, very well said, Joe. That's hilarious. Laura LaVarnway said, I really liked this episode. Thought they told a good story, but really would have liked a different ending, more in Al's favor.
What wasn't in Al's favor, though? Okay. I mean, she got the kiss.
She did get the kiss.
What's wrong with that? Here we go at T. Watkins 817 said, I'm loving it.
All right.
Do you love everything about this season or just this episode?
Are you just eating McDonald's? David Valentin at DV Orlando said, filler episode did nothing to move the story. Do you think it did nothing to move the story, Kim? Especially with... I actually had to think about that after David said that, because dealing with this new group, do we really learn anything consequential about them?
No.
We learn maybe that they're more organized, which I assume... We already knew, right?
We figured
they have helicopters.
Yeah, we that was inferred. And the fact that they're still existing into the future long enough to get Rick, because we know we're still in the past right now.
Did we learn anything more because of Al's backstory? Does that help with the story?
That does not help me with the story.
Her brother.
Yeah.
The end of everything.
That does not help me in any way, because everybody has lost somebody.
I know, but when you had like the military fighting each other,
no,
did that help any to answer anything towards what happened in the backstory?
That just lends more questions. Why were the militaries fighting against each other, the different groups?
Yeah. Even a question of why you call it militaries.
Shut up. the different groups of military factions,
military
whatever.
People,
the branches. Shit, shut up. Four beers. That's what I have to say about that. That's mine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I feel like the episode was, maybe from the writer's standpoint, they feel like they gave you some more. But I don't think they actually did.
I don't think they did either.
I think they were feeling like, oh, we'll give you a snippet of here and there and this and that from Al's backstory, from what happened at the very end, mm-hmm. what is going on with this new group of people being the future versus, you know, everybody else being in the past. But I don't think they gave you any other information at all. I did not feel like the episode was a filler episode at all, though. Did you?
So what's the difference? If they didn't give you any information and it didn't move the story forward, is that not the definition of a filler episode?
I don't know what the definition of a filler episode is. It was entertaining.
Okay.
Did it? And gave us new aspects and history about Al.
But again, that doesn't factor in. We don't care.
Well, to me, with Al, it actually made her more important than I thought she was in the show.
Okay.
Because for the season, I felt like Al was a complete side story.
Well, because she was kidnapped from the very beginning.
Yeah, but I think this felt like it gave her a little bit more depth and importance in the story.
Okay.
Now, okay, when you're saying she was kidnapped in the beginning, okay, I'm leading back into even last season.
Okay.
Because Al was really just, like, she was there to say, yeah, I have a tape about somebody. Oh, I met that guy somewhere. But she never really gave, like, a lot of information about who she was. So, like you said, maybe she's opening up now because of this episode.
Yeah.
So, I don't think it gave us a ton. I think it moved a character or so forward, but I don't think it actually moved the story forward that much because it can't. It's an isolated episode with one person.
Agreed.
So, but it gave us some insight about who some of these people are that are in the helicopters. They're normal people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like crazy Negan people.
No, but they just have a mission.
No, but I think that's insight.
Okay. If you say so.
I hate it when you say shit like that.
Why?
Because it just, like, completely equalizes anything I said. Like, bleh. There you go.
All right. Cash Cooper at Cash Coop said, it was meh. The fake peril or character's face reared its ugly head again, this time on the mountainside. The sexual tension was unnecessary, as was the kiss. Why save the reveal about Al's brother when we first found out about her videotape last season? They should completely embrace the over-the-top, unrealistic, mindless action movie motif for this show. It'd be a lot easier to enjoy not having to think about all of the faux pas. I mean, just look at the season poster. Completely over-the-top.
Yeah, I think those two comments are almost kind of unrelated, but whatever, Cash. You loved last episode, and this one, for some reason, you got
a meh.
No, for some reason, on this one, you're just not digging it. I don't understand.
That's all right.
Okay, Schrodinger's cat at In Paradox State said, "I'm shocked to report that I actually liked this episode."
Wow.
Not much action and some bad lines of dialogue, as per usual. But it did what Fear TWD does little of since season 4. Character development, almost no Morgan, oh joy. Performances, good. New character, good. Romance with actual chemistry, great.
I mean, yeah, that's the only good part that came out of this. But then that's also sad because she found somebody she could connect to and have a relationship with, and now she can't even talk about that person to anybody, and she supposedly is never going to see this person again?
She's got someone on the inside.
But she flew away.
There's no way they're going to develop that. It would be so stupid to have something like this whole episode happen, and then they never make contact again. I mean, come on.
I agree with you. I mean, I know they're going to make contact again, but they're just leading us to believe that they're not. So hopefully next week is better. You've been better than this one. All right, so we're going to just jump into some news because a lot of stuff has been happening in the Walking Dead world. And Stuart, I don't know if you know any of this.
Chances are I don't know any of it at all.
It's been all over the internet.
Tomorrow's 4th of July. I don't even know what we're doing.
We'll discuss that later. Yeah, so the comic books. Big news on the comic book.
The Walking Dead comic
book. The Walking Dead comic book. Robert Kirkman surprised everyone when the latest episode came out and was like, ta-da, we're done. It's over.
He's done writing the comics?
Yeah. That was it. Episode 193.
What do you mean? You mean he's like...
It's done.
Did they actually end it?
Yeah. Even though he said it would go on forever and ever and ever, he ended it. So he...
No, I mean, did he end the story? Was there end to the story?
Apparently he wrapped up everybody's storylines, because I haven't read it, so I don't know.
Okay.
Cash might have. But he wrapped up everybody's storylines and with a nice little bow and was like, done. Wash my hands of it.
So he was just, he was tired of doing it.
I have a feeling he kind of was. I mean, you can't make anything go forever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he already had like side projects that he was working with on this. Yeah. I'm sure he's like under pressure to try and keep some sort of storyline going for a lot of this. And But I wonder how he did it. Like, how far behind are you compared to what he...
Super far.
Yeah, okay.
Super far. I stopped reading after the Whispers were introduced.
Okay.
So I have a lot to catch up with. But I know there was I'm not going to spoil it, but there was a major character death.
Okay, well, recently. Yeah, we don't even need to talk about, like, characters that died or whatever. What is, the Walking Dead community saying about the fact that he ended everything?
So
I'm sure there's like a huge outcry.
Well, there's like some people who are like, thank God, finally, because this cannot keep going on. And this should be the death knell for the TV show as well. And then there's other people who are like, why did you end it? This was my favorite thing ever, and I'm never going to survive this. No. So I am more of the group who's like, finally,
yeah.
You ended it. So hopefully this means there's an ending to the show coming up because we're getting ready to go into season 10. And I love this show. Like, this Walking Dead is one of my favorite shows. I'll take that back. It is my favorite show in the entire world. I have watched it from the very beginning, and I will continue to watch it to the end, no matter what happens on the show or anything related to writing or directing or anything like that. However, I think that everything needs to come to an end, and there comes a point where you write it into the dirt, basically. Like,
you kill it?
Yeah.
You destroy it?
There's...
Like Batman.
Having...
Like Happy Days.
Happy Days, yes.
Jump the shark.
Yeah, like Mork and Mindy and...
There needed to be a zombie shark.
Charles in Charge. Like, there just comes a time when you have too much going on. And having another spinoff that's coming out, plus the movies, I just think it's time, you guys.
Well, I mean, what does that say to all this other stuff that they are creating that's spinning off? Like the Rick Grimes story stuff. And, I mean, is that all just like... I mean, I guess those are just going to have to be packaged events of like 6 episodes or 12 episodes or something like that. And then that's it.
I mean, they're going to have... I don't know how many movies they're going to do. But it would be nice if we had just one movie that wrapped it all up and just call it good. Yeah. I mean, that puts us out of a job, but...
Not necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, we could do more stuff. But I mean, I just think that there's overkill. We've been doing this for 10 years now with Walking Dead. Yeah. Even Walker Stalker is starting to slow down. Like,
we have actually been doing this for 4 years.
4 years. But even Walker Stalker, the Walking Dead conventions that started as a fan base, are starting to dwindle, and they are changing the whole scope of it so that they, instead of going to all kinds of cities all over the country, they're now focusing on just the Atlanta show because that's their bread and butter. So.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that was due to the management of all that.
Well, there was definitely some mismanagement, apparently, of funds, but...
Which was another fellow podcast that started all that.
True. The Walker Stalker podcast. But, you know, so things come and go. I think that it's kind of run its course.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not upset about it. And now I just want to catch up on everything that I haven't read yet.
Well, it's good that you're okay with that, Kim. Because I think a lot of people would be really upset if you weren't.
Thanks.
Did you have anything other for news?
No, that's it.
That's it? Really?
That's it.
Okay. So next week on Fear the Walking Dead, Season 5, Episode 6, The Little Prince. Really? Mm-hmm. Again with The Little Prince? I thought we already got rid of that.
Yep.
So I guess that means they're going to have something to do with the new airplane. But facing impossible odds, Luciana and the group work together to tackle an impossible task while Morgan helps prevent disaster. Elsewhere, an old friend presents Sarah, Charlie, and Strand with a solution.
That would have to be Daniel Salazar.
Gotta be, yep. And it has to be fixing the plane.
Yes. So he's back.
So Daniel Salazar is the little prince.
Yes.
He's not very tall.
No, he's not.
Okay.
So we hope that all of you have a very good, fun, and safe 4th of July. And stay tuned for next week's episode of the Fear Me Podcast. If you want to write to us, you can reach us at fearmepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at Fear Me Podcast. And you can write to us on Facebook at facebook.com/fearmepodcast. Thanks for listening.
Good night.